Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn, please, to the book of John, chapter number 14. John, chapter number 14. I do appreciate each one of you being here today, and I appreciate the Lord being here today. I brought him with me. He goes with me everywhere I go. Amen. John, chapter number 1. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Now Thomas speaks up, and he said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want to preach this morning out of John chapter 14. We're kind of preaching through the book of John on the subject that you might believe. The word believe is used five times in three different verses in chapter number 14. I believe it's important that we understand that God wants us, number one, to believe in that area of salvation, but number two, to believe in that area of surrender and service that we might live an abundant life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the time that we have together, and I pray that this time would prove to be fruitful this morning. Lord, just clothe us in our calling, and Lord, I pray that the Word of God would find a lodging place in our hearts and lives. Lord, the little children to my right, Lord, three of my grandbabies are over there this morning learning about Jesus, and all those little children, Lord, in the little children's church, the 3 to 5-year-olds, I pray you'd bless them. Then on my left, Lord, Brother Aaron and Miss Amanda, Lord, working with the older children. Lord, I just pray you'll bless them in a special way. Lord, our graduates and college graduates, we pray that you'll bless them. And Lord, may we be able to leave here today saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to concentrate on three different things in the chapter this morning, if I may, as the Lord spoke to my heart about chapter number 14. First thing I want us to see this morning is there is a way that is made plain. A way that is made plain. I believe with all of my heart, no one needs to be confused about the way to heaven. Jesus made it plain, Brother Rose. He didn't leave us doubting or wondering. He said, if you want to know the way, he said, look right here. I'm the one that stretched my arms out and died. I'm the one that laid in that grave 3 days and 3 nights. And I'm the one that got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. This week we studied a little bit about John the Revelator. And we know that Jesus can say, I'm the one you're going to stand before one day after a while. I'm the one, beloved, listen, that's the judge. I'm the one that, beloved, listen, is going to be sitting on the throne at the judgment seat of Christ for the Christian. I'm the one that's going to be sitting on the great white throne judgment when lost people come before me that have never been saved by the grace of God and, beloved, are judged according to their works. The Word of God makes it plain here. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. I can't get this out of my mind and out of my heart that for the last 2 days. It's been just coming over and over and over. So I just got to say it and I'll move on. If you're not saved, let your heart be troubled. I tell you what I believe. I don't believe any of us got saved until our heart got troubled. We understood, beloved, that, why'd you say that, preacher? Because Jesus here is talking to saved people. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He's not talking to the unsaved in that text right there, but he's making the way plain that even an unsaved man, even a wayfaring man, can see the way to heaven. It's not through a religion, but through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through money, and it's not through baptism, but it's through a new birth. It's through being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed, the Word of God that lives and abides forever. I'm glad the way is made plain. The way, beloved, listen, the way to God's place is made plain. Let me just think, give you something. I never thought about it. Many times as I've read and quoted this scripture, I've never thought about this. But if royalty was coming to your house, I'm talking about royalty, would you make preparation? Would you? Amen. Would you want to make sure everything was in order? I might even talk to my wife and ask her if I had the fork laying in the right place. Amen. If royalty was coming to my house, had the napkin on the right side. My wife knows all that. I'd have to talk to her. I don't know. I believe the fork belongs in your right hand. Amen. That's where the fork belongs. But anyway, if royalty was coming to my house, I'd make great preparation. And don't you take me wrong this morning, but my Lord went away to prepare a place. You want to know why? Royalty's coming to his house. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And it's not going to be shabby. It's not going to be out of shape. Amen. It's going to be perfect when the children of God arrive at the house. And God has made preparation for those that are redeemed. I love that song. I'm redeemed. Amen. He bought me out of that sin and slave market that I was in and gave me a purpose in life. Beloved, listen, the way to God's place is made plain. Jesus said, I am the way. The way to God's peace is made plain. Look over here at the end of the chapter. The Bible said here, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let me say this morning. If you have the peace of God, you know it. Say amen. If you've made peace with God through the blood of Calvary's cross, you know it. But beloved, listen. If you've not made peace, let your heart be troubled. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we need that peace, and the way to that peace is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ that loved us and gave himself for us. Now, the Bible said here, watch this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Now, let me just say this. You know what that means? That means there is a peace that the world gives. There's men in Kingsport this morning because of their the stock market. Their peace is in the stock market. Their peace is in, beloved, their belongings. Their peace is in their position. And they don't need the house of God. They don't need the things of God. They don't need the Word of God. They think they just got it made. Jesus said the world does have a peace, but let me tell you something about that peace. It's going to come to an end abruptly, quickly, because judgment and tribulation is coming upon the world. And that peace is not going to work. Amen. Men and women will run to the rocks and the mountains and cry out, fall on us and hide us from the face of God. Beloved, it's going to be too late for that crowd. But Jesus said, I have a way that you can have peace. You can have peace. You can have peace. You know what I believe tonight? I believe when the radio's turned off, I believe when the TV's turned off, God help us. I believe when the cell phone's turned off, I believe some people don't even turn their cell phone off at night. Amen. But I believe, well, listen, when it gets quiet and the lights are turned off and they go down low, I believe every individual knows in their heart whether they have peace with God or not. And beloved, I believe with all of my heart there's no substitute for that peace. Many, Lord, last night rolling up their sleeves and putting things in their arms, putting things in their mouth because they have no peace with God. And beloved, they're in search of that peace. I believe there's a way in chapter number 14 that's made plain. Not only the way to God's place and a way to God's peace, but I tell you there's another way, and that's a way to God's presence. Look in verse number 26. The Bible said, but the Comforter. How many is glad for the Comforter? I love that song, Brother Ralph, The Comforter Has Come. The Comforter, I never shall forget. Beloved, when we taught in Bible school this week, the children learned about that sea and how it was raging. And Jesus stood up on the bow of the ship and said, peace, be still. And oh, I listen, I'll never forget when in my life, because of my sin, things were just raging. But thank God the Prince of Peace came and stood there. Amen. And for the first time in my life, I understood His presence. I experienced His presence. He didn't come to condemn me. You say, preacher, why not? Because I was condemned already. He came to save me. Amen. And when He showed up in my life, thank God for that comfort that He brought. The Bible said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance. You say, preacher, I've been through a whole week and I've not sensed His presence. You want to know why? If you're saved and you've not sensed His presence, it's because you're not allowing the Holy Ghost to teach you. And beloved, the Bible said the Holy Ghost will lead us into all truth. We're living in a generation, beloved, even in the church world, where statements like this are made. Well, I know what the Bible says, but... some people say, well, I don't care what the Bible says. I know what I experienced. Beloved, we better care what the Bible said, because that's where the presence of God comes from. It's from the Spirit of God leading us into the Scripture, into the Holy Word of God. There's a way that's made plain. I'm not real intelligent. I'm not real smart. If God hadn't have made it plain, I'd have missed it. Amen. I'd have missed it. But thank God, He didn't stand up and say, pick door number one or door number two or door number three. He just said, I am the door. By me, if any man. He left no doubt, beloved, that He could bring me out. He could change my life and set me free. I'm so glad, amen, somebody prayed for me and God made that way plain. Let me give you this secondly. I'll not be before you long this morning. Not only in this chapter is there a way that is made plain, but there's a work for God's people. A lot of people, beloved, will never experience the fullness of God's joy because they're not involved in God's work. Listen to me, beloved. A lot of people think, well, when we get saved, well, man, it's just a picnic. You just float right on into God's place. No, it's a warfare. And there's a work to be done for God. Amen? Let me let you in on a little secret. The flesh don't want to do the work. Amen? Your flesh is sorry. You say, preacher, don't talk to me like that. Well, let me talk about me. My flesh is sorry. Our flesh is sorry. It don't want to work for God. It don't want to do the work. You say, preacher, where do you see it? Look at it with me, please. Jesus said, if you had known me, in verse 7, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Watch it now. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. In other words, Jesus said, you've watched my life. You've seen what's been done. He said, if you can't just take my word for it, look at the evidence. Who else ever walked the Sea of Galilee and not just walked the shore but walked on the sea? Who else ever took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed 5,000 men? Who else raised the dead? Who else healed the lame? Who else healed the dumb and caused the blind to see? There's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. You say, preacher, you said there's a work for God's people. I did. Look at verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Now listen, this blew my mind for many, many years, and it still amazes me. I won't be dogmatic, but I'll tell you why I believe this is written. He said, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Brother Steve, how in the world could Jesus say of the church in our day that we'd be doing a greater work than he did? I thought, well, first of all, I thought maybe it's this. You know, Jesus was only ministering for 3.5 years, so maybe he's talking about all that length of time down through the hundreds and thousands of years. I don't think that's what he's talking about. In the book of Acts, you're going to see a transition. And beloved, the Bible said the Jews required a sign. But in the book of Acts, you're going to see a transition from the Jew that would not believe nationally, now I'm talking about, to the Gentile. And the work, I believe it's along about with Cornelius, when Peter was sent to the house of Cornelius, it became entirely a work of faith. In other words, no longer were people going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ because of miracles that they saw. But the Bible said now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible said now, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for we must believe that he is. The Bible said now, that for by grace are you saved through faith. Now, a preacher has to get up and tell people that a Savior died on a cross that they've never seen, that he rose again from a grave that they've never seen, that he's coming again on a cloud that they've never seen. And today, the work is greater because there's nothing to see with these eyes, but through the eye of faith, the word of God is preached, and someone takes God at his word and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, somebody said, well, I'd like to see a miracle. Every time a person realizes they're a sinner and puts their trust in the Savior, it's a miracle. It's a miracle of God. It's a miracle from out of this world. There's a work for God's people. It's a work from the Father. It's a work of faith. It's a work of fellowship. If you look at verse 16 through verse number 18, he said, I'll pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. Jesus said, I'll come to you. Beloved, it's a work of fellowship, and then it's a work for the future. Look at verse 19. The word of God said, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, ye shall live also. You say, preacher, how do you know you're going to God's place? Well, he made the way plain, and I came the way that God said to come. That's the Calvary way, amen. And I know that he's going to come again. He said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Beloved, listen to me. Listen to me this morning. I thank God for our church. I believe it was last Sunday night. I believe it was. Brother Don McCann stood in this pulpit and preached about the parable of the mustard seed. I challenge every one of you, get online, BibleWayOnline.net, and listen to that message. I'm telling you, I've never heard anybody preach it any better. Brother Don, God used him in a mighty, mighty way. God helped this preacher last Sunday night. Beloved, listen, I don't believe there's a preacher living that would rather see his church full any more than I would. I long for that day. But I tell you what, I learned something last Sunday night. Honey, we may never see it full. Amen. Now listen to me, I'm not negative. We may never see it full. Because I tell you, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the fewer people that love the truth of this precious old book. I'm telling you, there are church after church after church where the way will never be made plain. The message is muddled, and everybody's going to end up in heaven some way or another. But beloved, this book said, narrow is the way that leads to life. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. I got saved years ago.
was 27 years old, went to pick up some building supplies. I started witnessing to the guys down there. This old fellow, I can't remember his name now. I can't hardly remember my name. But anyway, he looked at me and he said, "Rick, I didn't know you got on the bandwagon." I looked at him and I said, "Brother, I didn't. I said, I got off. I said, the bandwagon's going to hell at a breakneck speed. Oh, thank God at Calvary I was able to jump off of the bandwagon, amen, and stop going the way the world's going and go with a Savior that made that way plain to me." Oh, beloved friend, you go to so-called churches today and the Bible not even be opened. You know what I'm talking about. Maybe you don't. Some of us are spoiled, amen. But I'm telling you, I've traveled this land. Brother Don talked about that last Sunday night. He's traveled this land. There's a way that's made plain. There's a work for God's people. Let me give you this in closing. I used to tell the folks when I pastored at Liberty, if you just got excited, you're a visitor. Amen. When I say, let me give you this in closing. My wife said, "I never did preach a long message." She said, "But the introductions and the closings are killing us." Amen. 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 I want to give you this, and I'm done. Excuse me, Miss Eve, I'm finished. Amen. Actually, I feel like I'm done. Anyway, there's a world. You say, "Preacher, why? Why?" We have a missionary family with us tonight, today, to the Navajo Indians. Is that right, brother? Thank you for your service. I mean that. Thank you for being on the firing line for Jesus. Brother Beal knows these people, invited them to church. Thank you for your service. But there's a world that's in need of God's peace. Not only is there a way in the chapter that's made plain and a work for God's people, but the purpose of it all is a world that is in need of God's peace. If you look at verse 27, let's go there again, but I'm going to read further. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus is going to die, and he's trying to console his followers. "Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me," he said, "you would rejoice." I want y'all to remember that if a day comes that I leave this world before you do. Will you? Will you underline that in your Bible? And say, "Pastor said, if you loved me, you would rejoice." Say amen. If you love me, Jesus said, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. Look here what Jesus said, verse number 31. "But that the world may know that I love the Father." Brother Steve, I can stand here today and say without apology, Jesus, in chapter 14, wants everybody to meet him in his place. He wants everybody to know the truth of God's word. He said that the world may know. I still believe John 3:16. "For God so loved the world." You say, "Preacher, how do people get saved? There's a whole world of people." I tell you how, one at a time. You have to come as an individual. Mamaw can't get saved for you. Papaw can't get saved for you. Mom can't get saved for you. Dad can't get saved for you. Brother can't get saved for you. Sister can't get saved for you. There's a whole world that is in need of this peace. But they'll only experience it if they'll come one at a time. One at a time. Jesus comes by and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions." I say this morning and say it one more time. If you don't have his peace today, please let your heart be troubled. Let your heart be troubled. Don't fight it. Let God trouble your heart. Let him trouble your spirit. It ought to trouble you to know that Jesus is coming in any moment. Lord willing, we'll come back and have Sunday night service tonight. Lord willing, going to have dinner with the graduates after a while and all of that. But I tell you, if Jesus comes, do you realize we're checking out just like that? If Jesus comes, Brother Brian won't have to look at that surgery on Tuesday. There'll be some perfect surgery performed and God will give him a new body like unto the Son of God. Won't that be a blessing? Beloved, there's a world that's in need. Watch it now, verse 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Let us go hence. Jesus, the Savior of the world, I believe is magnifying in John 14 a way that's made plain, a work for God's people. I believe that's all of God's people. But some people, I don't know why they get this idea of, oh, that's the preacher's job. Oh, that's the deacon's job. Oh, beloved, let me say this. If you're saved by the grace of God, there's a work for every one of God's people. A work for every one of God's people. Maggie took care of the bank this week. Are you back here, Maggie? Is she over there? Over there? One place or the other? She's over there. I went up to the bank and I said, Maggie, I said, honey, I said, if I need a little money, can I come to your bank and borrow it? She said, sure. You just got to know, Maggie. Sure. I said, how much interest do you charge? She didn't hesitate. She said, 10%. I said, well, you're that much like Jesus. Amen. Amen. Didn't even hesitate. How old is Maggie, Sister Tracy? 11 years old. But she was faithful, wasn't she, honey? All week. Faithful to her bank. Faithful to the bank for Bible school. And now Brother Ford, his truck was made in 99, and God help him, it's a Dodge. My brother used to have a saying, you know, the commercial said Dodge, depend on it. Amen. Brother Paul, you still driving a Dodge? Did you give up, brother? Or are you still driving it? He's not going to admit it. Amen. Amen. My brother used to have a saying that said, Dodge, depend on walking. Amen. But anyway, Brother Ford needing a upgrade. He don't want a new truck. I admire him for that. He's not asking for a new truck, just to upgrade, get something that's dependable, to pull the mission trailer. And some of the places he goes, it's 94 miles one way in the desert. It kind of gets hot and dry out there. But all that will be possible. We'll be able to help. And we're grateful for that. There's a world that's in need of God's peace. This morning, forget about the world for just a moment. Are you in need of God's peace? Is that something you'd be interested in, to be interested to know that your name is recorded and will be found written in the Lamb's Book of Life when you stand before the Lord? A change? Is that something you would desire in your life? Let me just say this. No one will ever get saved that does not desire a change in their life. You like it the way it is, hang on. But if you get tired of it, you get tired of the guilt, you get tired of the shame, there's a way that's made plain. His name is Jesus. He said, I'm the way. A lot of people try to make all the religions of the world come together. Honey, I'm not preaching a religion. I'm preaching a Savior. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He said, I'm the way. You say, preacher, that's awfully narrow-minded. Maybe it is. I don't believe we have any business getting outside of this book. The same God, Brother Anthony, that provided Isaac that day is the same God that provided a lamb Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's bow for prayer.